I want you to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to try and finish our kingdom series. Hopefully this has been a blessing to you so far. We've been talking about how God is building his church. He's extending his kingdom. He's using you and me. We're going to destroy the works of the devil. We've talked in previous weeks, we talked about the history of revival and how Christianity really broke into the islands here. You can go back and hear these messages. We've talked about the armor of God. We talked about weapons of warfare. And one of our weapons of warfare is the activity of the Holy Spirit, or the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're talking about today. It's what we began last week. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, verse 1, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Jump down to verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And I'll just quote this. Many of you know this by memory. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, you shall receive power. Everyone say power.
Power.
Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be witnesses. Everyone say witnesses. These are key words in here. Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Or if you want to put that in like our terms, you can be witnesses in Lahaina and Maui and the islands in Americas and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. You guys believe for God to use us like this? Well, let's pray that God would just bless this word. And more than this, guys, I want to go so far beyond theology. I want the power and the activity of the Holy Spirit operating through each and every one. So let's pray for it this morning. God, I just pray that you would anoint this word, that you would bless this service. God, let us be not just hearers of the word, but even doers of the word as you encourage us. And Lord, even as we talk about the gifts, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we don't just want to have a theological understanding of these things. We need that. But Lord, I pray that you would activate something on the inside of hearts today, that as we learn, as we understand, as we discern, Lord, you will release miracles. You will empower faith. You will, Lord, use us to heal the sick. You will give us new tongues and interpretation. Lord, you will activate these things on the inside of us. And so, Lord, even right now, I stand against the activity of the enemy, anything that would try and hinder, stop up, block, confuse, pervert your word. Lord, we resist it. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit of truth in Christ Jesus would prevail over this house. We just release even now the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to operate. Lord, give us ears to hear, a mind to understand, eyes to see what your Spirit is speaking today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen. 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 You may be seated. This kingdom series, I just love this. I gave the illustration last week, and I'll just remind you if you missed it or maybe you forgot. I had brought up Emery here and in one of the services, and just asked him, you know, if I were to tell you to go down to Front Street, you know, you just walk straight down a couple blocks, and I asked you to go and catch fish. And that doesn't sound too hard, but then I put a caveat on that. You can only use what you have on your body right now. Now, Emery actually kind of ruined my illustration because I guess he can do the, you know, grab in the water and grab a fish. He's accomplished that before. But I asked him and he said it would take him a long time and at best he would get one fish. It's not very effective. But then I handed him a three-prong spear? Or you just imagine you go down there with a net, or you go down there with a fishing pole. How many know that you would be much better equipped to catch fish if that's the position that you were in? You had the right equipment, you had the right tools. And church, this is really what this is about. See, being spirit-filled. Everyone say spirit-filled. You understand, we're a spirit-filled church, right? We are a Pentecostal church. And well, Pastor, what does that mean? There's a denomination that's associated with that, and that's not what I'm talking about. When I say that we are Pentecostal, all that means is that when you read Acts chapter 1, you read Acts chapter 2, you read about the activity, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the way that God moved in healing and prophecy and casting out devils. We believe as a church that God still does that stuff today. And it didn't stop with the apostles. It didn't stop when Jesus ascended. In fact, when Jesus ascended, he said, it's to your benefit that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send another helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And this is what he's going to do for you. And began to outline some of the things that I'm even talking about today. But I want to emphasize, you understand, Jesus did not pour out his spirit, the spirit of the Holy Spirit, into the earth so that we could have good prophetic conferences and healing meetings. As wonderful as those things are, well, that's the reason I read to us Acts 1:8. He gave us the power to be a witness. The power to be a witness. We understand what this means. See, let me give you another illustration. I had an uncle who used to give me a real hard time when I was lifting weights a lot. And there was a time that I got pretty big as I was lifting weights. But my uncle lives in Utah. And he does whitewater rapid, he leads groups on the whitewater rapids during the summer. During the winter, he works at a ski resort, and he has hobbies like free wall mountain climbing, okay? Like no harnesses, no nothing. He's a nut, and he'll go do this. And the reason that he was poking fun at me is because he's like, you've just got show muscles. And really just picking on me. He's like, go climb a mountain, go raft down a river. And these are functional muscles, and really just kind of harassing me. And, you've got guys like Guyton, and I've been working out with Guyton. Some of you have joined us at times in the past, and it could be show muscles, but ultimately he's working out and he's preparing himself to get into a ring to go and beat some people up, go and fight, I'm okay with all that kind of stuff. Paul liked that kind of stuff. He preached about it. But here's the deal. What is going to happen is he's preparing right now. He's physically preparing his body. And what's going to happen is when he steps into that ring, now that preparation has become functional. It's going to be used. It's not just for show. It's not just so we can look great or anything like that. As much as I want to for my wife, I'm gonna get looking good. But I tell you, there needs to be a function. And by the same token, we'll lay hands on you guys and we'll see that released here in the church. I want the activity of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. But if all we do is ever demonstrate the gifts right here in this room, right here in church settings, in our life groups, again, that's okay, and we want that, but we're missing the entire function of the Holy Spirit, the power to be a witness. We are missing the function to go and make disciples. These signs will follow those who believe. You understand that the gifts should be operating more on the behalf of the unbeliever out there than it is for the believers in here. You guys, are you grabbing this morning? So what we're going to do is I'm gonna teach you about these. We went through three of them last week. I think I can finish the others today. And we're going to do this for function. We're going to empower you guys. We're going to pray. And God's going to use each and every one of us. Amen? Okay. Well, let's get into this. So last week we talked about what we called the gifts of power. These are what you'd call the working gifts. We talked about faith and how that's really what we call heaven's currency. This is really, if you get faith, it'll empower every other gift that's in operation. This is supernatural faith that operates in and through us. Man, we can move mountains and that's amazing. We talked about gifts of healing, how God will heal the sick, how even emotional healing, the, you know, ministry of deliverance, these kinds of things can operate out of the gifts of healing. And we talked about the working of miracles, and that's like unusual miracles. Oh, I want to see this kind of stuff. I want to see bread multiplied, right? I want to see eyeballs pop back in heads. I just want to see crazy miracles, right? You read anybody, you just read the Old Testament and just like, wow, you know, boy, I'd like to see fire from heaven. I'd like to see an axe float on, you know, water. I mean, just wild things that you see. I'd like to see somebody outrun horses, amazing kind of things that God did. That's all the working of miracles. So today I want to begin. So we talked through those things last week. You can go back to last week, but right now I want to talk about what we would call the gifts of inspiration, or the vocal gifts, the gifts of inspiration. Everyone say inspiration. These are gifts that inspire, that encourage other people, or vocal gifts. These are gifts that God will actually use your mouth to do something. And so the first one here this morning is prophecy. Everyone say prophecy. Now, this is something that we're all pretty familiar with. I don't really need to expound a lot on this. We just came out of prophetic conference. But essentially what prophecy does is it encourages us. It exhorts us. It can be, it doesn't have to be, but it can be predictive in nature. It can lay out a future event or give you a course in life. Romans 12:6 says, having gifts according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. So again, you see, this faith will encourage this gift of prophecy. So one way that you see this used was in Acts chapter 11. It's interesting. Agabus began to prophesy about a famine that would hit another nation. They immediately sent their support and they sent their prayers. And you imagine in that day, I mean, right now we get news reports that pop up on our phone. We know when things are going on. We've been praying all week for the Philippines and the typhoon that's hitting them. And we send our prayers. I know many of you have family and friends that are from the Philippines and we're sending support, and we've got churches that are out there. But you imagine in the days before social media and instant information transfer, it's wild that these guys, in the case of Agabus, received a prophetic word that tragedy, that famine was about to hit this other nation, and they responded in accordance to it. Pretty wild. And I mean, God can still do that. And you guys believe that God can still do that kind of thing? I'd like to operate in that kind of thing. Prophecy, it can be. Now, this is a question that always comes. Because I do believe that prophecy is to be used for encouragement and exhortation and these kinds of things. And inevitably, somebody will always ask, well, what about correction, Pastor? And this is what I think about this. Now, when we do prophetic training and prophetic activation, which we do, I believe that every single person in this place could prophesy if you would give God the capacity. But there's a learning that's involved in this. And so what I don't want to do, a lot of times people will begin to operate in this prophetic, and then they're just ready to go rebuke people. And that's what we don't want to do with the prophetic gift, okay? We need to grow. We need to develop this. If you remember when Pastor Lisa was here, did prophetic training, her goal, and it should be all of ours, is we want to find the treasure inside of people. Listen, you understand, most people know how messed up they are. They know where they're blowing it. They know where they're making mistakes. I meet people all the time when we're in a witnessing, and they're expecting me to beat them over the head and you're going to go to hell. Guess what? Sinners know they're going to hell. It doesn't mean that we shy away from that topic. It doesn't mean that we pervert or we gloss over that truth. But here's the deal. Most people have never heard that Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life. Really? Even though I'm messed up, Jesus still loves me. Even though I've got sin in my life, God can still use me. Try praying and ask God, Lord, show me a treasure. Show me the value that's in somebody. And this is how we begin to draw that gift out. Now, there have been times, in fact, I've shared with you guys, I've bared my heart, and there's been a couple occasions where I was moving absolutely the wrong direction early in my walk with God, and a prophet came along and spoke a rebuke. rebuke to me, correcting me in the direction that I was in. And I'm telling you, there were meetings that I walked out of where I was weeping, where I was crying because this conviction came so strong into my heart. Anybody have a moment like that ever? I mean, it's not a real fun thing. But at the end of the day, you know what it did? It corrected my course. It got me on track with the Lord. And today I'm where I am because somebody was bold enough to speak correction and direction in my life. And so it's both of these things. But as we grow in it, we got to be discerning. We got to be careful. And even like 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love. Everyone say love. If you're not motivated by love, you don't need to be prophesying. You don't need to be laying hands on nobody. You need to learn to love people before you try and operate in some great gift. If you're not operating in love, these gifts are going to come out all kinds of perverted and twisted, and we're not going to have that. Amen? So let's see. Another point about prophecy. I'm just giving you some nuggets of truth. You just grab hold of these as I'm tossing them out there. You need to walk out prophecy. You need to walk out prophecy. You need to take action. Many of you receive prophetic words even over these last couple weeks. And how many know those words are not just going to fulfill themselves? We need to take action. We need to take steps. We need to, pray and ask the Lord. Lord, give me wisdom in how to activate faith or to put steps to what your word says. And I've found very often, more often than not, most prophecy tends to confirm something that God has already been speaking to me. Not always, but most of the time, something. That's why when I get a prophetic word and I share with somebody, I'll almost always ask them, does that bear witness or does that make sense to you? Because I want to know, is this hitting home with them? Does it make sense? Because if it doesn't, whatever, just put it on the shelf. But I have had words. How many have had words where you put it on the shelf and then 6 months, a year later, it's like, oh, that's what that word was about. Anybody ever have one of those moments? I love the prophetic. We expound it. We believe in it. 1 Timothy 1:18, this command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that you by them fight the good fight of faith. Paul was encouraging his spiritual son, keep prophecy in front of you. It's going to encourage you to continue to fight and to press in. Hallelujah. Next, I want to talk about tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Turn to your neighbor and say, Shundai. That's we're gonna tap into tongues here. It might be activated in you when you do that. But I want to help you because this right here, I know we aren't afraid of this here in this church. But understand, the first church that my wife and I pastored, this was a church that was cessationist. Cessationist is a theological term. It's a theological stance. They believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased. And so this is the church that my wife and I came into. And what was interesting about this is just before we had gotten there, the reason that, well, if they're a cessationist church, why would they hire a Pentecostal charismatic pastor? Well, let me tell you. What happened is there was a young girl. Have I shared this with you guys before? There was a young girl who had, she'd gotten married, went off to a college associated with the same denomination, didn't believe in the gifts. What happened is as they began to try and conceive and have a child, they found out that she wasn't able to conceive. The doctors told her, because I don't know exactly what the condition was, but the doctors told her flat out, you will not be able to have a child. There's no procedure, there's no medication, there's nothing. It's not going to happen. Well, after she finished that, she decided she was going to go do a semester at YWAM, which you guys are familiar with YWAM. The main base is just on the Big Island, just a few miles away from us, and they believe in miracles. And so here comes this girl who's been in a non-spirit-filled atmosphere. She goes into this and they begin to, no, we don't believe that report. We're going to believe what the Lord says. And so they begin to speak life and all of this. Next thing you know, she conceives a miracle child. She has a miracle. She conceives and she gives birth to a miracle child. And what was awesome is her and her husband are both phenomenal teachers. They go back to the church that my wife and I would one day pastor, and they begin to teach the elders in the church about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What God has done is a gift in the Holy. And so what happens is half of the eldership open up their heart, end up getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. The other half decide not to, split the church right down the middle. And so the church split. They started another church across town, non-spirit filled. And then they had now this church that was full of all spirit filled but uneducated believers. And that was the church that my wife and I went into. Oh, it was so fun. We had hungry people who they didn't know what to believe. And so I'm glad the Lord led me early in my walk with him to study doctrine and theology and why we believe these things, because I literally wrote the statement of faith for that church and laid out the bylaws and all this kind of stuff and what we believe. And church is still good and going strong today. And so so I'm going to give you some things, because there are this deal with tongues. I don't know why. People are okay with believing in miracles, right? People are okay even with prophecy at times. But boy, that tongues thing is just weird. You know, I don't even get that. And again, we're not afraid of that here, but I'm going to help you to understand tongues and the interpretation of tongues. You ready? I'm going to give you a lot of verses. And if you're taking notes, you can get these down. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, my brethren, you'll notice most of these come out of 1 Corinthians 14. If you want to get a good study on the use of tongues, that's a great place to begin. Therefore, my brethren, earnestly, desire earnestly to prophesy. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. Okay, that's a good starting place. Paul said in verse 5, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but I also wish that you would prophesy. Jesus taught about this in Mark 16:17. He said these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils and they will speak in new tongues. There's even an Old Testament reference about this, Isaiah 28 verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. Paul actually quoted that in 1 Corinthians 14, emphasizing the fact that, hey, even the Old Testament prophets prophesied about this. And what's cool, listen to this, there was a study that was done in 2006 at the University of Pennsylvania. This wasn't done by Christians. This was done by secular doctors. And this is what they did under the direction of Andrew Newberg. They did the first brain scan study of a group of individuals who were speaking in tongues. And this is what happened. They concluded that while the participants were exercising these tongues, the activity in the language center of the brain actually decreased, while the activity in the emotional centers of the brain increased. According to the study, researchers observed significant cerebral flow changes among individuals while exercising, praying in tongues, concluding that observed changes were consistent with some of the described aspects of tongues. Further, the research observed no changes in any language area, suggesting that tongues is not associated with usual language function. So this is what's interesting. So if you've ever had this thought, I mean, guys, I had this early on, and I think everybody has this moment where you begin to pray in tongues. Maybe you get touched by the Holy Spirit, and it's the first time you break into this. And boy, usually the first time is exciting. You feel the touch of God, the fire of God. You fall on the ground, whatever might have happened. And but then the second time you go to pray in tongues, you guys already know where I'm going with this. The devil comes in with, you sound so stupid. That's not God, right? You're making that up. But what's interesting is this is not even like with Babel, you know, you're singing, you know, what do they call that? Scat, is that, you know, when they, you know, is that what they call that? You know, these things, or is that what that's called? Yeah. And so anyway, but those things will activate the language center. And it's like you're developing and you're coming up with this, but tongues does not. It actually decreases and it begins to open up different areas, even within the way you're, and let me give you a good example. Okay. I want you in your head. You can do this if you're watching us online too. Right now, I want you to, twinkle, twinkle, little star, okay? I want you in your head to begin to recite twinkle, twinkle, little star. Okay, do it right now. Okay, I gave you long enough for me to go through it. I saw you guys like bobbing your head and stuff. Now, this is what I want you to do. If you have the liberty, if you don't, we're going to pray for you at the end of service. But if you have never, if you have the liberty to pray in tongues, I want you for about 10 or 15 seconds, in your head again, not out loud, in your head, I want you to begin to speak in tongues right now. Now check yourself. How many of you were moving your tongue right then? Why are you doing? I told you to do it in your head. But you guys all start flopping your tongue, didn't you? Why? Why? Because it's not, you're not activating the same. This is not a language. It's not even a mental thing. This is something in your spirit that literally begins to bubble forth and come out of you. Isn't it? That's a neat experiment, isn't it? And so let me give you, oh, my notes went all the way to the top. That's not good. And so we'll just be spirit-led. Okay, here we go. So let me give you, there's seven uses for the gifts of the gift of tongues, okay? And I'm going to give you these to you real quick. Boy, I hope I can get through all, if I can only get through three, that'll be okay. Number one, there's tongues as an evidence of the Holy Spirit baptism. Tongues as an evidence of Holy Spirit baptism. In Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, says, Peter spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, for as many came with Peter, because on the Gentiles was poured the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. The reason that the Jews believed that the Gentiles, that the non-Jewish believers, the reason they even believed that God was genuinely touching them and saving them is because they had the evidence of speaking in tongues and they heard them magnify God. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 6, it says, Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. So there it's an evidence. Holy Spirit came and they spoke in tongues. That's why we adhere to the doctrine, and some people don't believe, well, I don't speak in tongues, but I believe I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't see an occasion in the Bible where people were baptized in the Holy Spirit and it doesn't mention them speaking in tongues as well. And I'll talk about kind of that application and why I believe every believer can receive that. But here's the second application of tongues. You'll see tongues can be understood by others, but not the speaker, right? So there were moments where you just imagine if I'm up here and I'm speaking a word in tongues, and some of you that speak another known language on this planet, all right? Some of you speak Tagalog or Ilocano, or you speak another language. Maybe somebody speaks the native Hawaiian tongue. And there were moments where I would begin to speak in tongues. And this isn't literally, but I'm giving you an example. I would speak in tongues and you would understand in the literal language that you speak in another place. Does that make sense? I mean, I've heard stories of missionary guys, trying to cross a border, and guys come out with guns and all of this, and they don't know what to say or do. They don't speak the language of the land, so they just begin praying in tongues. Next thing you know, they're just, pass it. It's like Jedi mind trick, right? And so, anyway, tongues that are understood by others, but not. You can see this in Acts chapter 2. They were dwelling in Jerusalem. Holy Spirit came, mighty rushing wind, and everybody heard them speaking in their own language. They were amazed. They were marveled. They said, look, are these not who speak not Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Name 17 different countries. And then in verse 11, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? So this is pretty cool. I've only had this happen to me once, personally, when I was in a prayer meeting at Christ for the Nations, and I had somebody, I don't know, from Japan or Korea or I'm sorry to say if this offends you, but I don't know where they were from, but they began to tell me about what I was praying there in their native language. And so it's pretty cool. I'd like to see more of that kind of stuff. How about that? Amen. Number three, there are tongues that are accompanied with interpretation. There's tongues that are accompanied with interpretation. So that's interpretation of tongues is actually another gift. Not every tongue needs to be interpreted because, again, you'll see different applications. Only I think one of the seven types of tongues are to be interpreted. Some are already understood, and some have different function altogether. That's not about encouraging, but this is what should happen on a corporate level. So 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries." And so there's mysteries that are being spoken. And then in verse 13 of the same chapter, "Let him speak in a tongue, pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful." And so essentially what this looks like, I don't know if we've had this in our church, at least since I've been here. It happened frequently when I was at Christ for the Nations. It happened at our previous church a lot. And essentially what would happen is somebody would give a word in tongues, and there was a difference. I mean, this isn't just run-of-the-mill praying in the spirit like I had everybody doing a moment ago before we preached the word. I mean, this is like, you just tell. It's like, God begins to move, and it's sort of like when somebody, you ever had these moments where, you know, when the Lord would say, and it's just like there's this reverence for God that hits the room. You know what I'm talking about? And it's the same kind of feeling like, oh, there's a word in tongues that's coming out, and it's different than the prayer language that comes. It's different than corporate worship. There's a word in tongue that begins to come. And then Paul's instruction is pray for interpretation. And what's neat about this is generally it should come from a different person. And what will happen is somebody will give an interpretation of that word that was spoken in tongues. And usually it's a prayer, it's an encouragement, it's something that will encourage the entire corporate body. And even the Bible talks, well, should that happen when there's unbelievers present? This is always a big debate. Again, nobody cares about this here. You guys are just awesome and you've been taught right. But I've heard people, you know, they take offense to this kind of thing. But the Bible says explicitly that this is a sign to unbelievers. And you just look at Acts chapter 2 and all of this, and that's exactly what it does. So anyway, let's move on. Wow, my time is going quickly this morning. Is this helping you guys? I hope so. Okay. There's tongues that are accompanied by interpretation, but it's a personal interpretation. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:13. "Let him who prays in a tongue pray that he may interpret. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So even on a personal level, as you begin to pray in the spirit, ask that God would give you interpretation. And generally what that sounds like, or what that feels like, is not necessarily you discerning every word that's being spoken, but what'll happen is you'll have a burden that's dropped in your heart. Now you begin to pray in the spirit, and all of a sudden, we need to pray for the Philippines right now. Right? Or you begin to pray in the spirit, and all of a sudden a person pops up in your head, and whoa, we need to intercede for Bill right now. Or you be praying in the spirit, and all of a sudden, you know, some need will come in. And I remember when I was just learning how to move in this realm of intercession, especially praying in the spirit, I'd actually kind of get frustrated because I'd be praying and all of a sudden some need or something would pop into my mind, and I'd start rebuking the devil, like, "Devil, why are you trying to distract me? I'm trying to pray." And the Lord began, this is actually what happened. There's a woman who had come into our church, and she had called, and she was really struggling with this urge to commit suicide. And I remember I was heavily burdened. I'd never dealt with anything like that. And so I was very, very concerned for this lady. I didn't want to handle it the wrong way. And she goes and harms herself. And, you know, now I'm responsible for this. So I called one of my elders at that point in time. Called one of the leaders. It'd be the equivalent of a minister in the church. And so I called him and I said, "Listen, I'm not going to tell you who this person was, but I just wanted to make this need known to you and just have you pray for it." And so, you know, I did that, and he calls me back about 2 hours later. Now, understand, the person that that had come in, I mean, I think they had been to our church maybe twice. And by that time, our church was growing pretty rapidly. And so there's no way, there's little way. I mean, it'd be like right now if I told Minister Sam, I mean, the congregation was about probably where we are right now. Minister Sam, I want you to pray because somebody came to me with a need for suicide this last week. And so anyway, this guy calls me back and he says, you know, Pastor Jacob, I know, you honor the privacy of this person that came to you. And if you don't want to say, but when I began to pray in the spirit, this is the person that just continually came to my mind. Every time I would begin to pray, I would just see a picture of their face that would come to my mind. And I told him, Bud was his name. Bud, you got it exactly right. That's it. And we need to pray for them. Holy Spirit's showing. And that's the way that this interpretation can work. I notice even as I've grown in this, I'll just notice a shift where sometimes my tongues will just change a little bit. And it's like, we need to move into warfare. Or it'll shift a little bit. And we need to pray for healing right now. It'll shift a little bit, and we just need to love on the Holy Spirit right now. And so you pray for interpretation. God will give you that. Amen. Here's the next one. I've lost track. I didn't number this correctly. What is this? Number 5? Here, we'll just review real quickly. So we've talked about tongues as an evidence of Holy Spirit baptism. Number 2, tongues that are understood by others, but not the speaker. Tongues that are interpreted on a corporate level, right? And tongues that are interpreted on a personal level. And so this is number 5, tongues that is used as a prayer language, or what we would call praying in the spirit. And this is, this is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, I pray in a tongue. In Jude verse 20, there's only one chapter, Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, right? 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So this is the function of praying in the Spirit. This is, you know what edify means? It's literally like building up, like building. You just imagine, you look at a construction site and you see a foundation, you see a frame. To edify that building would literally be like strengthening the foundation or putting walls up around this thing, making it strong. You're literally building onto it. And that's what the Bible, that's the picture that we get when we say we pray in the Spirit or you pray in tongues. You edify, you build yourself up in your holy faith. And so this is incredible. This is why I believe. So this is just to get kind of technical with you for a minute. This is what happens with most believers, okay? There is a, understand the gifts. Now, what did I say about the gifts of the Spirit? The gifts of the Spirit are primarily used as a witness, right? The gifts of the Spirit are primarily used as a witness, right? So if it's assigned to an unbeliever, praise God. Unbelievers, man, their hearts being stirred. If there's an interpretation that comes with a tongue, praise God, it's encouraging everybody. But when I am praying in the Spirit, guess what? That's not for you to interpret. That's not to encourage the church. No, that's to encourage me. That's about me. This is why I pray in the Spirit. And we do this. We, you know, and I'm okay. You do this in service. You do this in worship. You do it whenever. But we do this, and this is about strengthening me. So this technically is not even a gift of the Holy Spirit that is encouraging everybody. This is an operation of the Spirit that's strengthening me. Does that make sense? Okay. I hope you got it, but in any event, this is why. Because Paul asked, do all have gifts of healings? Do all pray in tongues? Do all this? And the implied answer in the questions that he's asking is actually no. And so I've heard people say, well, that's why I don't have the gift of tongues. Well, guess what? You don't need to have the gift of tongues to pray in the Spirit. Because praying in the Spirit is not a gift. It's an operation of the Holy Spirit. You understand the difference? Okay. I'll move on then. Tongues are, here's the next one. What is this, number six? Tongues used in worship. 1 Corinthians 14:15. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the mind also. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine. That is dissipation, but be filled with the spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So it can be used in worship. So if we ever have these moments, and I love this. This is what I mean, honestly, when we sing new songs and I don't know the words, it's annoying for me to try and read the words. And so I'll just sing in the spirit most of the time. I'll make my own song, make my own melody to the Lord. And I just love it, guys. It's powerful. In fact, every time I come into personal prayer, this is, again, just between me and the Lord, I always begin by singing in the spirit. I love, you just set that atmosphere in worship, and I'm not a great singer anyway, so if you get the anointing of the Holy Ghost behind it, I need all the help I can get. Wow, it's amazing. So here's the last one. Here's the last one. Tongues used corporately in prayer. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22 through 25, talks about this. It talks about being used corporately in prayer. Verse 26 says, let all things be done for edification. And like we began with, don't forbid speaking in tongues. And so, in any event, that's tongues. Did you know there were seven ways that tongues can be used? Well, now you do. Now you do. Boy, I don't think I can get through the rest of this, guys. I think this is what we need to do. We're going to pray. And we're going to ask. Some of you, you're hearing this and you're chomping at the bit. Pastor, I'd really like to pray in tongues. I'd like to receive the baptism of the Spirit. This is what I want to do. If I could have my worship team come back up here. And we're just going to ask. You know, the Bible said, you know, Jesus brought out this teaching. And he says, listen, how many of you, if you were to ask your father, I want an egg. I can't remember exactly what the two things were. He's like, but he said, how many of you ask for, what is it, an egg? And I would give you a rock. Or, you know, he said egg and rock. And then he said, or if you ask for bread, I would give you a serpent. And, you know, and of course not. But then this is what he says. He's like, how much more does your Father in heaven who loves you, if we ask, won't give you the Holy Spirit? Won't he give you the Holy Spirit? And so listen, what we're going to do right now is we're gonna pray in a moment as we begin to worship here. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. I promise you, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you. He wants to touch you. He wants to use you in the gifts, in the anointing of his Spirit. And so this is what we're going to do. I'd like you to stand all across this room. All across this room. And right now, we're just going to invite him to come. We're just going to invite Holy Spirit to come. Just begin to saturate this atmosphere. In fact, why don't we just practice what we've been talking about here? If you have the liberty to pray or to sing in the Spirit, I just want you to begin to do this. In fact, just to this little melody that's being played right now, let's just begin to sing in the Spirit for a moment.